But let's read something here out of 1st Enoch, 1st Enoch 59:8. This is what Enoch saw in the visions, vision of visions, when he was taken up to the seventh heaven, into the courts of the Lord. He said, there underneath his wings I wanted to dwell, which has to do with that which is within the throne. My soul desired that dwelling place. Of course, why he desired that is because that was our origin in the Father's bosom. Already my portion is there, which has to do with the treasures of his faith. For thus has it been reserved for me before the Lord of the Spirits. These were things which the prophet Enoch saw and which he wrote down for our benefit of faith, which also confirms the words which Jesus spoke about as concerning his Father's bosom. Now this is out of 1st Enoch 39:8 if you want to do some further studying on that. Here's another one out of 1st Enoch 46. 2 and 3. This is talk about the hidden storerooms. And I asked the one from among the angels who was going with me. Remember, numerous angels attended Enoch's tour of the seven heavens. And here, this is what he's mentioning right here. Then I asked the one from among the angels who was going with me and who had revealed to me all the secrets regarding the one who was born of human beings. This has to do with the concealing of Jesus Christ. Hey, who is this, and from whence is he who is going as the prototype of the before time? That's the person which he saw here, before time was created. And this was the same vision which we all had before we entered into the bodies of our flesh. Hey, all the souls were exposed to this revelation. And here, this is recall, total recall for Enoch. He's viewing this now from the other side of the waters. And this is what was revealed to him. This is a son of man to whom righteousness dwells. And he will open all the hidden storerooms, which has to do with the conscience of the righteous. For the Lord of the Spirits has chosen him, and he is destined to be victorious to overcome. Destined to be victorious before the Lord of Spirits in eternal uprightness. That Jesus in his resurrection was to provide this door for all those which have faith and have a pure conscience to enter into the Father's heart, in their Father's bosom. Now this is what Enoch saw over 5,000 years ago, and this is what we are also experiencing today. Okay, that which is the purification of the conscience by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, why don't we read something also from 2 Hermas. Now those were, I just read some things here out of Enoch. We'll see, read some things here out of 2 Hermas' command. We'll get started here as the rest of the saints come in before the bell rings. And those which are just coming in, make sure you have your notepad ready, your highlighter and your pen. This is out of 2 Hermas' command, 9:6-7. And this is, this has to do with the purification. He says, wherefore, purify your heart from doubting and put on faith and trust in God, and you shall receive all that you shall ask. It's kind of interesting. You shall receive all that you shall ask. Your petitions will be answered. But this is always in connection to the stewardship and priesthood. Unconverted believers read these texts. Being isolated from the government of God, they interpret them only in the light of their own record. And when you interpret them in the light of your own record, it's called that which is of a deceitful. Okay, deceitful. Or as the Apostle Paul talks about, or John, Chief Elder John talks about, it's a lie. Okay, it's a lie because it stands outside of the light. It's truth when it stands in the light. And then he goes on here, but, and if you should chance to ask some what and not immediately receive it, yet do not therefore doubt, because you have not presently received the petition of your soul. For it may be, you shall not presently receive it for your trial, or else for some sin which you know not. And this has to do with the work of regeneration. The Lord is allowing the trial to remain present until the completion of your challenge. That's all he's talking about. The cleansing of the soul. But he says here, but do not you leave off to ask. Then you shall receive. Else, if you shall cease to ask, You must complain of yourself and not of God, that he has not given unto you what you desire. Now that's out of 2 Hermas' command. So you get an understanding there in involving the delay of your answer. The answer is already on its way, okay, but it will arrive at its appointed time. And regarding those things which the Spirit of the Lord just revealed to Apostle Hermas. Hey, we're picking up here in the book of Thessalonians. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. We'll pick up where we left off here, okay, last week. And here the Apostle Paul, bringing to the attention of those under his stewardship. When I say that, we're talking about verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus in the church of the Thessalonians. And now here he says he's in acknowledging them which is in God the Father. In other words, our Father is directing their faith. He's governing their destiny through your cycles of growth. And these things are completed through our Lord Jesus Christ, the pattern which he provided for us, for this witness to be true. For this witness to be true, which means this is the original pattern which our Father determined to be set within Jesus Christ and be fulfilled in those of faith. And that's why he says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. You see how he repeats himself here, because he's providing for us the understanding of this pattern and the completion of it in the next text. Okay, and it says, which is in God our God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about how we're receiving these tokens of faith for the completion of the cycle of our growth, only for us to continue to receive these gifts for this process to be completed. So he goes here, verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. So I like the word own souls there, because we're talking about this experience of life. Okay, you become children of this gift. Okay, we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, but that which is through the stewardship are those which are being bestowed these gifts, tokens for your priesthood, tokens for your growth, tokens for your experience and understanding, tokens for also the enlarging of your heart by faith. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to impart unto you, we, the apostles here, willing to impart unto you not the gospel of God only, not just in word, but in power, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. So make sure you highlight the word our own souls. This is bonding of the Father, the bonding of the Father. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. So highlight the word labor and travail in verse 9. Okay, and this is what you see in the illustrations there in Facebook. Regarding that one seed, the one seed began with a revelation, which upon the blessedness of Abraham, the blessedness of Abraham has to do with the reciprocation of this knowledge, the receiving and reciprocation of knowledge upon the Lord's visitations. Okay, so the Lord's visitation upon Abraham provided for him this knowledge for total recall, for which by reflection of faith, he received the benefits of the revelation, which has to do with the physical revelation. From the invisible, of the revelation, to the visible of the birth of Isaac. And this is what Paul's talking about right here. He's talking about this blessedness, which is sealed within our conscience, being purified by faith in Jesus Christ. And the evidence of this is fruit. And this fruit is your treasures. Okay, the treasures which are laid up for you. Okay, the treasures which are laid up for you is this equity, and is equal to the sowing. The more you sow, the more you grow. Okay, the more you sow, the more you grow. And as you're growing, the benefit of this is the treasures which is laid up for you. Okay, we bear that testimony within us, and this witness is true. And this witness which we receive is faithful. Okay, this is the original pattern which is put within that scale of Jesus' holiness, because he shall judge the world in righteousness. Everything is weighed to the scale of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is holy. And we are charged by God, as Chief Elder Peter brings out, be you holy, for I am holy. For it is written, be you holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Because we know that without holiness, no man shall see God. Now when he says, without holiness, no man shall see God, it's not only relevant to that which is the full expression of it, the baptism of light, but it also is beneficial for now. because without holiness, no man shall see God, which means you cannot see the face of Christ where the knowledge of God is absent. But you can see the face of God in the lips of those which speak charity. You can see the face of God in the priesthood. Okay, the face of God, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, is seen within the priesthood of your confession, your priesthood of charity. So that which we confess saves our soul. So if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, and confess with your lips, you should be saved. This is what the Apostle Paul brought out to us, which he brought out to the Romans, the saints there in Rome. So he goes on, being affectionately desirous of this divine pattern, which is unfolding within you now and forever. It's perpetual. He is perpetual. We can see the expanse of the universe, how even scientists are now beginning to understand the expanse of the universe, that we exist within this orb or bubble, because God created a dimension within himself. That's why he knows everything. He's everywhere because we're inside of him. He knows everything because his conscience is attached to everything he created. He knows all things. And knowing all things, he sustains all things. Right? So he says here in verse 9, for you remember, that means reflect, this is a reflection of your faith. Okay, as we reflect on our faith, marking this time, the marking of time of this delivery. The same thing the Lord is doing today, which he has revealed in Eva. Our Lord is manifesting this time here of labor and travail. Okay, the tokens he has provided for us, is marking the time of the birthing of his house and the gifts which he's giving. The gifts which he's giving, the nurturement which he's provided in this house. If you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. So I like the word labor and travail there. So he says here, I want you to reflect upon our faith as marking this time for the delivery of the baby and to give birth. So we prayed constantly. Okay, and also by the knowledge which we have studied and prayer, rising early, he says here, to give and to greet this new day. If you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. The gospel of God. This is the gospel of fire charity, as Jesus also brought out. Have your words seasoned with salt or seasoned with fire. That's your fire charity. The knowledge of God is necessary. Truth is necessary as the salt, to be put with your words, to be put with this knowledge, to be added with your sacrifices. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, and as the Apostle Paul brings out, whom we travail in birth again till Christ be formed within you. But what he did 2,000 years ago, he's doing it even today, which shows the joining of the first eighth week to the second eighth week. The anointing which is upon the apostles at that time is also present today, joining these weeks together, as if there was no breach between them. And we'll see the same thing transpire upon the baptism of light, as if no breach ever existed. Time will be no more, as if no breach existed. Okay, but God got the desired results. That means he got the product which he labored for. Okay, God got the product which he's labored for and removed the breach of time, putting all time into one age, as if there was no breach, as if no time of darkness ever existed. That's incredible. Our Father, which we read about in the book of Revelation, there should be no more death, there should be no more pain, there should be no more sorrow, there should be no more need, because we'll be self-eternal. And as gods, we'll be expanding the dimension of our Father within his own heart for eternity. So as gods, heirs of gods and joint heirs of Christ, we will continue to march on with this divine tradition which he's engrafting within us now. He's engrafting this testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ in us now, through grace and suffering. Through grace and suffering, which means that he is providing abundance of grace for us to carry us through this divine change, a transition. A transition is taking place within you from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge, from death unto life. to our Lord Jesus Christ, that being raised with him, okay, we continue to partake of these things as sons of God. As the chief elder John brings out, chapter 3 there, but beloved, now are we sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be, because we're not in our glorified bodies yet. It does not yet appear we shall be. But we know that each of us will receive added gifts according to the desire and pleasures of our Father. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you. That means we will not fall short of this glory. We will not fall short of this glory because we're walking in harmony with him now. By acknowledging these tokens of fellowship, okay, we are walking in harmony with him. Now, this is what Chief Elder John is going to bring out here. We'll jump over there here just momentarily, okay, and read some things out of 3 John about this token of fellowship. Because we not be charged among any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. This is the message of this fire charity, which he's governing our destiny. The salt of our redemption, which cleanses you as a child that is born, is swaddled and seasoned with salt. They salt the baby when he comes out. So we are salted with salt as a sacrifice to the Lord, as Isaac was also a seed of many generations. A seed of multitude came forth from the revelation which our Father gave to Abraham. That's the blessedness. The blessedness of this multiplication is a mystery. Okay, but it's unfolding in you every day. As grace into grace, peace into peace, faith into faith, wisdom into wisdom, and knowledge, and so forth. Its multiplication is a confirmation of this blessedness of Abraham, which the false religious system, known as the earthly church, has not received. The illumination which they have received falls short of the God's glory, because it's absent of this engrafting. Having no refuge, they're outside of the gate. Our refuge is inside the house, inside the gate, inside the city. That's why it's called the city of refuge. The city of refuge. Jerusalem was assigned the token of being a city of refuge when the stewardship and the priesthood were present there, beginning with King David, and then the construction of the temple under Solomon. To which Mount Zion, being the size in the north, was the city of the great king. It was symbolic as a gate to heaven, because it was tethered to the Father. Being tethered to the Father, this was a token of adoption. And we can read about that through the writings of the prophets, how they disdained this tethering of adoption when they turned to Baal. Because of this breach of promise, God also made a breach of covenant to them. But now this has been restored to us, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet being engrafted with him, we are partakers of the saints of light. And you are witnesses, he says here in verse 10. You are witnesses, because the Spirit affirmed these things to you, even with dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. And we have a catalog of dreams and visions. Many dreams and visions which our Lord has given to the church. And we are cataloging these all together. You can see the mind of Christ here. It's very simple. You can see the mind of Christ. That God has not abandoned us, but the earthly church feels they've been abandoned by God. So they're trying to resuscitate an experience by running to an altar, right? or through petitions of repentance, okay, and through prayers of forgiveness. And also they're trying to gain God's attention with carnal tokens, okay, as concerning tithing, water baptism, physical communion, or physical circumcision, or observing in the Sabbath day. They're trying to regain their first love through earthly tokens, and those tokens which they're embracing, Satan is hidden within a serpent. Satan hides himself in carnal things, okay, and this is brought out. That's why all those things of that first covenant cannot purge the conscience. If the conscience was purged with those things, then Jesus wouldn't have to come in order to set down that which would be of a pure conscience through spiritual sacrifices. So let's go on here, verse 10. You are witnesses affirming these things, and God also, as concerning giving these things, how holy, justly, and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. Because true faith is birthed in the fellowship of his name. The token seed begins with the stewardship. The token seed always begins with stewardship. Okay, we see that ever since the very beginning in Genesis. The revelation which received, even the days of Enoch and the days of Noah. You see, the new beginnings was through the stewardship, and that's what Enoch received as being called the first week, and Noah the second week, and so on. To Abraham the third week, Moses the fourth week, David the fifth week, and then we come to that which is the first eighth week in his transitions, okay, which God sanctified in his apostles, calling that the first eighth week. Now in the second eighth week, joining all into one thread of the anointing. We're all under that one anointing. We're all under Christ. So you're witnesses of God also, how holily and justly and unblameably. Make sure I highlight those things there. Okay, that you accepted this testimony with power, separating yourselves from all uncleanness. And then he goes on here, and we behaved ourselves. We bore that divine nature, that divine nature in our oversight of your soul, as you also embraced and confessed him. So we behaved ourselves among you that believed. And that's where he begins his epistle. In verse 2 there, giving thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. So we can see the answer of prayer here was forthcoming. Without remembering, now ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. This is what we call sanctified works. The sanctified works is with spiritual things. The unsanctified works is with carnal things. Those things which the false religious system could not make distinctions between that we're saved by grace, not by works. And yet James, chief elder James, says we're saved by works. Okay, so they couldn't make that connection because everything that they used was earthy. That's why they couldn't make the connection. And that's why their priesthood was contaminated. And that's why their salvation fell short of God's glory. Everything that they profess, all the books that they wrote, all the honors which the so-called reformers received in recognition and carrying on those traditions was only death unto death. And what was birthed from that was war, famine, and pestilence. Okay, that's the voice of the history of the flesh, whereas we bear the voice of the history of the Spirit. Our eternal history was set within the Father's bosom, which would be fulfilled and carried forth. This is a divine tradition, the tradition of the Spirit which we follow. So you're witnesses in God also, how holily, justly, and unblameably. Okay, when he said the word justly right there, we also know this, we talk about addressing those which are of faith. And unblameably, which has to do with the state of the conscience, unblameably, okay, which means we're walking in innocence, not in ignorance. Ignorance and innocence are two different things. Okay, ignorance has to do with the cloud of darkness. Innocence has to do with the birth of righteousness. We are innocent because we are born in righteousness. Born in righteousness, we are free from the law and free from that condemnation. Our conscience being purified by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, and unblameably, we behaved ourselves among you that believed. Our oversight was for these things of labor and travail. Now let's jump over to 3 John. Okay, so we'll be coming back here, but let's jump over to 3 John here. Okay, let's read a few things here in 3 John. Actually, we'll be reading the full chapter here, but some of the things which we'll be emphasizing, which has to do with my little children, and also his name. That which chief elder John is penning right here is the same language which our Lord Jesus Christ gave to him. That is the blessedness of this divine tradition is carried forth through stewardship and is disseminated, okay, is shared as the breaking of the bread. Okay, the breaking of the bread by the Spirit is multiplied in the mouths and in the hearts of the people. This is what Jesus showed when he fed the 5,000 as an example of that. The elder unto well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So I like the word love in the truth there. The things which you're expressing, your charity. For charity is in the power, is the power of your well-being. Okay, which is, of course, achieved and defined in that one that saves us. So the elder unto well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. This elder right here. Gaius is also an elder. As we also read about in 1 Peter. Okay, where Peter is also writing unto the elders. Okay, the elders. Okay, now we see that in 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, just turn just a few pages back and you'll see that. Okay, and which I'm going to right now. Okay, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder, okay, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also glory that shall be revealed. Okay, that's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Now we'll go back to 1 John here, or 3 John. Okay, whom I love in the truth. Okay, so we know that there's that truth is expressed in this knowledge here, which has to do with God's character, purpose, and plan, what he says, what he does, and its product. It's called the threefold cord. The threefold cord is that which tethers us to the horns of the altar. The horns of the altar in representation of that we're sons of God through the priesthood. The horns on the altar represented the children of God will be birthed through this priesthood, healing. Okay, so we see the prospering the soul with Christ. And this is what he brings out. Beloved, I wish above all things may prosper, standing at the altar. We become profitable in our knowledge, standing at the altar. So you can see why those in a false religious system are attending a cold altar. We're attending a hot altar. And this is what we see in the book of Revelation. I would that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That which is written unto the angel there of the church of Laodicea. Which has to do with that they're attending a cold altar. What's the cold altar? The physical things. And that's why he says, I counsel you to buy me gold trying to fire. Buy me gold trying to fire that might be rich and white raiment that you may be clothed and that your nakedness won't appear. So, beloved, I wish above all things that may prosper, nay, the things which are profitable to the soul, and be in health, which has to do with godliness is profitable in all things. Be in health, even your soul prospers. The application of this knowledge through your charity will prosper your soul. And so, when you prosper your soul, okay, that which he's provided for you, you have gained three more. And remember the talents. That which you have received, you have increased by. And Jesus, speaking these things, is talking about this, which he, Father John, is bringing out to those in the house of Gaius. For I rejoice greatly, and of course the word rejoice here has to do with that. There's a building and a bonding here taking place with increase. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. So hide the word truth there, because we're talking about the character, the purpose, and the plan. Okay, but it also has to do with the fruit, the knowledge, and the fruit, and the power, okay, which he's provided for us. Okay, these things are present and those which are in covenant, but they're absent in those which are outside of covenant. They're standing outside the door because they have no oil in their lamps. Those which no oil in the lamps are also out stewardship and priesthood. Okay, but they're standing at the door. They heard the invitation. All these people that came there heard the voice of God. They heard grace. Okay, but they stood outside of the preparatory stages. Outside the preparatory stages, being without stewardship, they were naked. Okay, they were without oil. And therefore, the Lord, what did he say to them? He says, I know you not. Okay, they said, Lord, open to us. But he says, I don't know who you are. In other words, our Creator was making known that his face is seen in those who possess the anointing. Those who possess the anointing are those whom the Lord recognizes and knows. But those which just possess, say, head knowledge. When I mean head knowledge, I mean being severed, they're severed from the kingdom of God. They're outside the door. They're not in the house of the Lord. They're outside the house. When you're in the house, you're in covenant. When you're in the house, you're also under stewardship. When you're in the house, you're also functioning your priesthood. But those which are standing without, even though they're on the threshold there, okay, are absent these things. They're on the other side of the barrier. They're on the other side of the door. But we know that if one tries to get in, okay, without the proper garments, will be cast out. So he talks about truth here numerous times. Hide the word truth, because we're going to see six times Chief Elder John is bringing this to the attention of those in the house of Gaius. I have no greater joy, there's the word joy there, than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is the power of the anointing that affects you. Then he says, my little children. Yeah, so it's my children that walk in truth. So see the word children there. So we're going to jump over quickly to 1 John chapter 4. So I'm going to turn to 1 John. chapter 4 here. You don't have to, but I'm going to turn there. You can just make a note on that. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He is not of God, hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's the same language again in another letter. We are of God. So the chief elder John is identifying himself in stewardship as also those which are working with him in the same stewardship. That means that's the fellowship of the elders. The fellowship of the elders. All those which are in covenant. We are of God. The fellowship of the elders. We are of God. He that knows God hears us in this fellowship. So when he says he that hears God, he's talking about the brethren that accept these living tokens, that accept this witness, okay, are of God. They hear the voice of the Lord in the stewardship. He that is not of God hears not us, which means those which are outside of covenant try to approach God on the conditions of their understanding of the text, okay, which has to do with private interpretation. They're isolating the text to themselves outside of the kingdom. This is what Chief Elder Peter said as concerning private interpretation. They're taking ownership of the knowledge, but they're not in the house. They're not walking in the stewardship. We're of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby, Chief Elder John is bringing to the attention of the saints right here, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's real simple. It's real simple. The Antichrist spirit works in those that are outside of the house. Okay, the spirit of Christ or the anointing works in those which are inside the house. Okay, so hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, Chief Elder John will be bringing this to our attention here in a moment about theotrophies. Beloved, let us love one another, because the expression of this charity comes through the stewardship. Beloved, let us love one another, which is an exchange of the substance. And he that overcomes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we see this in the Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, see the word voice there. Okay, this is the angel of the church of Laodicea. Okay, are you hearing this? This is what Chief Elder John is writing by the Spirit to those of Laodicea. Hey, do you hear the voice of the Lord in the stewardship? If you hear the voice of the Lord in the stewardship, then you're going to open the door and we're going to have an exchanging of this knowledge, exchanging of charity. Okay? And this exchanging of charity is going to be exponential. It's going to grow and increase within you. And this is what the Lord said. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open a door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. There's an exchange. There's an exchange. Okay, those of the earthly church have fallen short in this exchange. Okay, they have fallen short in exchange. They take, but they can't give. Because you only can give in the house. You only can give at the altar of this sanctified priesthood. Okay, it's at the altar that the exchange takes place. Okay, we can see this with Zechariah. When he was offering incense, he saw the angel standing there. There is an exchange taking place. We see the same thing in the offering, also the sacrifices of Gideon. And the same thing, the sacrifice and the offering of the sacrifices there of Manoah and his wife. The angel of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, and the exchange, the equal exchange, took place there. And the same thing with us today. There's an equal exchange at the altar of Christ. And in the priesthood of your righteousness and the priesthood of this covenant, because of this equal exchange, there's communication. There's communication. There's the blessedness. Our Father visits you with level 1 dreams, level 2 dreams, revelations. Revelations of the divine work within you. As he's circumcising the heart, removing the testimony of the flesh, replacing it with a testimony of Christ. Replacing it with a testimony of the Spirit. It's this testimony of the Spirit which the Apostle John is bringing out here called the Spirit of Truth. Therefore, he says in verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another through this equal exchange of supping. For love is of God. It first came from him. It is the power which we have received. This power which we have received is what we speak. We're speaking this one language, which identifies us with this one house. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. In other words, the knowledge which we receive identifies the articles of his kingdom. The articles of his kingdom. He's writing his name in us. The articles of his kingdom. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I put my laws in their hearts and write them in their minds and put them in their hearts. These are my commandments, which they will obey. By these things, I will remove the testimony of offense and transgressions I will remember no more. Because your conscience now is being purified, there is no condemnation, there is no finger pointing against you. The confession of guilt is pointing the finger at yourself that you're a sinner. That's the confession of guilt. The guilty on the day of judgment will be pointing the finger at themselves, and their own confession will be evident of that. For he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Oh, we can identify this divine work through the charity which we speak, because this is bonding us to him as we drink of his cup. Drink it all of it, he says. Drink all of it. And he passed the cup and says, here, take, drink. This is a covenant in my blood which I'm making with you. It begins with stewardship. The stewardship passes it to the brethren. This is what he did with the multiplication of the bread and the fish. He multiplied it, gave it to his apostles. The apostles served those which were in groups of 50s and groups of 10s. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. See, the word manifestation is a sign. So we see the sign in this power which Jesus said. And we'll go there in a moment, there in John 17. As he was given his power over all flesh, he's provided a record in himself. So in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. He gave us the volume of the book in these waters in his person. That's why Jesus called the word of God the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. The volume of the book, in other words, it was already printed. The volume of the book was already in print before the world began. And Jesus, called the word of God, is making known this knowledge by opening the conscience of those which believe, the consenters. The conscience of the consenters is being purified by this knowledge. Now I'm going to jump to verse 20 here for a moment. If any man say he love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. So the Apostle John, chief fellow John, put it on the basis of this joining. There are people that say, I love Jesus, but yet they hate the stewardship. This man is a liar. So if any man say, I love God and yet hates his brother, he denies the stewardship, he is a liar. But he's just walking after his own record. But walking after own record, he only feels that he's going to lose his independent power to reason. He feels that he's going to lose his independent power of reason, to reason for himself. Okay, but God did not call us to believe in our own private way. He called us into one house to believe it his way. We can see this also with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given in the ears. Okay, not only was it given in stone to one person, the stewardship of Moses, but it was also written in the ears of all those that heard. God established a physical token for a spiritual manifestation. The same thing what he's doing today. A physical token for a spiritual manifestation. In the stewardship. You know, so a man say, I love God and hates his brother, which means deny this charity in his brother, he is a liar. But he that loves not a brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? We see Christ in the charity which is spoken. For charity isn't self-serving to preserve one's independence or aspiration, or also to shield one's ignorance. It's not given to shield ignorance. Charity is given to provide a seal of innocence. It's the seal of your innocence, free from condemnation. And then Chief Elder John goes on, verse 21, this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. That is for this equal exchange and for your growth, and for your growth and the seal of your adoption is seen in keeping this ordered activity. Now I'm going back to 1 John here. Now I'm in 3 John again. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk into it, to see the word my children. This is the offspring of this blessedness. The blessedness is the knowledge of his visitations. In dreams and in visions and other manifestations, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. This is what we're walking in, that you walk in this truth. Okay, that which the anointing is given to you. Okay, beloved, you do faithfully, and it has to do with you remain consistent to this divine pattern by the key which is given to you through the stewardship. So, beloved, is that you do faithfully what you do to the brethren and strangers, the Gentiles to be included in this, which have borne witness of your charity before the church. In your assemblies, they testify to this bonding. And all those that come into covenant will testify to this fact of bonding. That we're all speaking the same thing. We all are speaking that same language on the same foundation of the apostles, which have borne witness of your charity before the church, whom we for bring forward on our journey after a godly sort, that is by the fruit of this vine here, the godly sort, you should do well, which is well-pleasing to God. Because that for his name's sake, highlight the word name there in verse 7, so get your highlighter, highlight the word name there, for his name's sake. And a lot of times we think of the Lord's name, we think of his proper pronunciation. And you see this again in an earthly church. They have a whole list of names, okay, which they feel if they can properly define the name, that they can identify themselves with God. But what they're doing is they're taking ownership of that name for the purpose of sustaining their aspiration, religious aspirations, which is an abomination to God, which is the lie, which he, Father John, was talking about. In verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, we covet the fruit of God, taking nothing of the Gentiles, borrowing nothing outside the covenant, taking nothing of Gentiles. Being in the house of God, the provision is abundantly provided for us. You're in the house of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You receive the circumcision of the heart by, you can say, the sword of truth. The sword of truth has been circumcising your heart. And at the same time, God has put that within your own hands for the purpose of your defense, your discernment, the two-edged sword. Now, I'm going to jump over to John chapter 17 here. So put your marker in 3 John, because we'll be coming back here in a moment. Okay, I'm now going to John chapter 17. Okay, and in here we see Jesus' form of communication. And Jesus communicating these things is in verse 6. I manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Your name. Okay, when we talk about your name, we're talking about the covenant token. The covenant token is this knowledge. Well, what's the covenant token? Myself. Jesus, I kept them in your name. Myself. I kept them in your name, my knowledge. I kept them in your name, my power. Remember when Jesus sent them forth. He sent them forth in his name. The angel of the Lord was working with the stewardship, as it was also with Moses. The angel of the Lord was working with Moses. And he took, and the spirit which was upon Moses, he also was put upon 70 elders, but Miriam and Aaron. They worked closely with Moses. That's the fellowship of elders, as also Joshua. I manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world, which means gave me out of the world before the world began. These were the consenters, okay, which were appointed to exist at this time of appointment. Okay, yours they were in the bosom, and you gave them me here in this earth. And they have kept your word, the knowledge I have given to them. Identify them as concerning those things which unfolded in the Father's bosom. This enlightenment to them is total recall. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are of you. See, they have known. The conscience being opened, the knowledge which they have received was a witness, again, stating that fact, that which Enoch saw was unfolding at that time and is unfolding today. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, where? In the Father's bosom. And they have received them, okay, as concerning the word of God, and have known surely by that seal that I came out from you. And they have believed that you did send me. They believe that you did send me. This is what the Lord said in the Father's bosom before the world was created. Okay, things which were spoken trillions of years ago, if we were marked by time, it'd be trillions of years ago, which has to do with the sealing of the conscience of every soul that would be born within this dimension, okay, and challenged in this dimension. These were things which unfolded in the Father's bosom before the world began, before the foundation of the world. Okay, this is what Jesus is talking about. He's making these connections for them, as I'm doing for you. And then he goes on here in verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Now, that's kind of interesting. Why wouldn't he pray for the world? What he's saying is that the things which I'm saying is not for the sanctification of the spirit of this world. It's for the sanctification of the knowledge which I'm giving to you, which I'm giving to them. Okay, the knowledge which I'm giving to them is what sanctifies them. not that knowledge which came into the world because of transgression. That's why he says, I pray not for the world. I'm not praying for that perfection or sanctification, but for that which now are present in receiving. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, which is self-evident. Those which you give me, numbered for me, the consenters, for they are yours. By this new knowledge which is in my name, this is a token of ownership for their fullness. Yeah, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. These are the things which are agreed upon in the Father's bosom, and I'm glorified in them, which means now the increase is taking place, of the increase of my kingdom, because my kingdom really has no boundaries. That is, conclude this power in these souls. Okay, I'm giving them a new priesthood, and this new priesthood would bond them to me, because it's given to them in water and blood. Not by water only, but by water and blood. This is what Jesus talked about. This is what Chief Elder John talks about, okay, also in his epistle there. Not by water only, but water and blood. And now I'm no more in this world, which means my mission in this for this adoption now has come to a completion at this time, for a short time. Now Jesus is getting ready to come back to establish the millennial reign, but not until after the rapture. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. And he says, Holy Father, I'm going to return for their prototype, the prototype of this promise, and for a point of contact of the separation. And that's why he says, I'm now coming to you. I'm completing the cycle for you. I'm cleaning the cycle for you. I've given them the witness of you, and I'm putting the record in me, so that the witness being greater than the record, which is the masculine and the feminine again. That's why the Holy City, New Jerusalem, is given a feminine name, okay, called the Bride, and why the Light is called the Masculine. The Masculine is that which is the Light, and the Feminine is that which is the Physical, okay, which we are today, the Physical, the Feminine. Okay, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep your own name. There's the word name again, highlight the word name, because this is going to be a point of discernment for them in the first eighth week, as well as also for those at the second eighth week. This is a point of discernment that my name is in them. They, the tokens. These are the tokens which are given to them for the purpose of this effectual working. Okay? By this effectual working, they become excellent in their understanding. Those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. There it is again. Upon the completion, the anointing which you have received of him, okay, is sealing you for this journey. Is sealing you now. For the purpose of this fruit bearing, the challenges which we were assigned to face. Remember, when we were created by our Father, we are created in the light, we are created by the light, and we are created for the light. Okay, but now receiving the testimony, we were put in a kingdom of darkness and the flesh of in the absence of light, and also in the knowledge of this world, which is evil. We were put into a very contrary environment. A fish was created for water, and we were created for light. But when what we are created for, we are put into a completely contrary environment as a fish out of water. And being a fish out of water, it struggles to live. And that's what we do. We should be saved, yes, so as by fire. We should be saved, yes, so by fire. And that through much tribulation, you'd be saved. Okay, which shows that we're contending for the life of God in an environment that's death. But that's why your reward is so great, to receive this divine inheritance as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. A title, a seat, a throne of glory, a dimension called a mansion, dimension called a mansion and a house of God, which is the orb of the Father's conscience. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I kept. That which is in the Father's bosom, okay, that which is in the Father's bosom was authorized for the sanctification for this divine adoption in order to bring them back to you. I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I kept. None of them is lost but the son of perdition. The son of perdition, the protester, is Satan, the children of pride. Judas Iscariot, took the knowledge to himself. You see what happens? When you privately interpret the scriptures, which means you steal for yourself. When you steal for yourself, that means there's darkness upon you. That's what happened to Eve. She took the knowledge to herself. and entered into the transgression. Okay, Satan took the knowledge to himself and entered into transgression, the father of lies. The father of lies, it was him that birthed iniquity. He was perfect in the day that he was created until what the Lord say, I found iniquity within you. You protested my plan and you stole my knowledge to yourself. You took my wisdom and directed it into the aspiration, which the children of this world do today. The children of the flesh, the children of the world, the children of darkness, the children of the night, steal the knowledge of God and call it their light. Right? That's the false light. And that's what Jesus says. If that light be in you, be darkness, and how great is that darkness? Okay, the knowledge that you stole, you took the Torah and you engrafted the Torah into your own culture. You grafted it into your own tradition. You grafted it into your own race. Okay? And by doing so, you assaulted God. You assaulted God as Satan assaulted God. Of course we assaulted him. They beat him. They spit on him. They cursed him because he would not confirm their aspirations. I have kept, and none was lost, but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. All those that follow the Judas Iscariot mindset stand outside the door, as was prescribed in the volume of the book. I would consider all souls for this blessing, right? But only those which consent will enter in. Now let's go back to third John. As you get your sacrifices ready, I'm going back to 3 John here. Okay, we talked about his name. The stewardship is in the pattern, the love is in the fellowship. Stewardship is in the pattern, the love in the fellowship. And that's what he says here. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Now, John, chief elder John, wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, the protester, Diotrephes abandoned the pattern which we gave you. By abandoning the pattern, what did he do? He defiled the charity. You abandon the pattern, you defile the charity. You embrace the pattern, you sanctify charity. Who loves to have the preeminence among them, okay, receive us not. Who loved the preeminence among them? This is the venue of his own knowledge. Okay, he was stealing the knowledge to himself. He didn't want to build a house of God, he wanted to build his own. Okay, so they received us not to build a house of God. Therefore, and wherefore, he says, be forewarned. If I come, I'll remember his deeds, the choices that denied this charity. I'll remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. I had the word prating there. All he is doing is sowing doubt. Another way to say that is that he's raising the red flag, and he's saying, watch out for cults. Watch out for the cult. Some of these apostles there, they think that they only have the truth. This is what Diotrephes was doing. They think they only have the truth. But Diotrephes was setting himself up as a scale and a standard. Instead of that which the Lord sanctified for the scale and standard, okay, the protester was using himself in independent interpretation as a scale and a standard. But this is why Chief Elder John is warning the saints. Here he says, Gaius, he's warning them concerning Diotrephes. Beware this guy. Wherefore, if I come and remember his deeds, which he does, bring against us with malicious words, he's demonizing this charity, and not content wherewith. Okay, he will not find peace, okay, through error. You find peace in truth, but you won't find peace through error. And you're not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren. In other words, he refuses the fellowship. He likes the knowledge, but he refuses the fellowship. But you can't have the knowledge without the fellowship. The knowledge needs the environment to grow. So knowledge without the fellowship is dead knowledge. It's just ink on paper. And this is what John says here. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. Which means my presence is necessary in order to oversee the cycles of your growth. But the Diotrephes did not see the need for that. The Diotrephes was now stealing the knowledge for his own interpretation and also projecting his aspiration. Diotrephes wanted multitudes, miracles, and money. That's what Diotrephes is looking for, and you see the same thing in the earthly church today. Okay, those which are outside of covenant being the carnal-minded. Okay, neither does he himself receive the brethren and forbids them that wouldn't cast them out of the church. Verse 11, beloved, found not that which is evil. That's what he calls evil. Evil because, okay, it's a false knowledge. That's what evil means. It means false knowledge. So, beloved, follow not that which is evil and false knowledge, because it won't prosper your soul, but that which is good, which is brings perfect equity in this prophetic path. But he that does good is of God. The word good right there, which means you're laboring with the tokens of equity. Well, what are the tokens of equity, you might ask? And he says this, the government, the truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and grace of God. Where is it found? In the house of God. That's where it's at, is in the house. Well, or where was the altar? It was in the house of God. It was in the temple. The altar was in the temple. The altar of incense was in the temple. The table of showbread was in the temple. The priest, the activity of the priesthood was in the temple. And that's also where your equity is found. Your peace is there. Beloved, found that which is evil, but that which is good, which bears perfect equity in this prophetic path. He that does good is of God, but he that does evil has not seen God. Okay, when he says here, has not seen God, which has to do with the anointing never matured within their understanding. The anointing never matured their understanding. Okay, in other words, they fell short of God's glory. Okay, and this is what the Apostle Paul was bringing out concerning the falling short of the glory of God. He was talking about believers, okay, standing outside of the covenant will fall short of the glory of God. The seed will never mature. It fell by the wayside. You have to remain in the bag. If you jump ship, okay, on the road there, okay, then the heat of the day will devour you. If you jump ship, okay, along the path there, okay, into the weeds, or in the, or just on the soil there, okay, you're going to shrivel up, or the things of this world will destroy you. You must remain in the bag, and the bag is on the shoulder of stewardship, and when your seed is in the bag, and the bag is upon the shoulder of stewardship, you're going to go to, okay, that which is fruitful, the soil, the good soil. Every religious system believes that they are the ones in the good soil. They all believe that. Okay, whether it be a Catholic or a Lutheran, okay, or a Baptist or a Pentecostal, or a Mormon, or a Jehovah's Witness, they all view themselves as the good seed. They all view themselves as the ones that have or possess the truth. The truth is in the one that God anointed. That's why Jesus identified the stewardship as the one as the bearer of truth. The voice of the Lord is in the stewardship, not in just interpretation of the text. Okay, the voice of the Lord is in stewardship. So Demetrius, and not Diotrephes, but Demetrius has a good report of all men, all the saints there, and the truth itself. Because we can see there's an exchange of charity. Yes, we also bear, as Chief Elder John said, we also bear record, and you know that a record is true. Okay, that means a record is true, being that which is of faith. Okay, that which is of faith is true in the original pattern. That Demetrius is following that which is of the true pattern, your original pattern. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you, but I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Then he goes on here. See the word peace? Connect the word peace to the word truth there, and charity. Charity, truth, peace. Charity in verse 6. Okay, truth there also in verse 8, and peace there in verse 14. If you want the peace of God, then you have to be in the covenant of God. You have to be in the covenant of God. That's the true peace. The true peace is in your cycles of growth. Your confidence is within the sanctified priesthood. Okay, the preparatory stage, okay, you're being prepared, you're being consecrated, and you're also initiating these things. You're following through with the sanctified procedure. Okay, following through with the sanctified procedure, which means you're keeping the rules of the game. We have seen that mindset established in sports or any kind of career. Okay, there's a policy that's been set for procedure to be identified to be correct in order to get the proper results. You see that in everything, whether it be in military or whether it be in medicine, okay, whether it be in science or whether it be in sports. Okay, there's proper procedure in order to identify, okay, the best results, and so is the kingdom of God. The order which God set has been adopted and ingrained, okay, and engrafted, you could say, okay, within the conscience of Adamites. It's in the conscience of Adamites, proper procedure. It's not in the conscience of the beast. It's not in the conscience of the beast. They're just following through with instinct, because that which is God is engrafted within the conscience of the Adamite, okay, also shows that they're aware that something is greater, that something can be achieved. Okay, and that something needs to be set in order to progress. Okay, every house begins with a brick. Okay, every house begins with a foundation. And so is the procedure of God's kingdom. It begins with you coming in the covenant with God. Okay, your contribution of charity within this house. Functioning at the altar of the priesthood, keeping that altar fire hot. That's the anointing. And your activity of your prayer. Praying in the spirit, offering your spiritual sacrifices. Keeping your vessel full. Okay, and the visitations of the Lord. Okay, the visitations of the Lord, okay, will continue to increase as you continue to increase. We increase with what? We increase with the increase of God. Okay, so the more you sow, and the more you grow.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.